Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Would you all just stand together? I just want us to have prayer. I can feel something so strong in the Holy Spirit here. And the word of the Lord comes to you. Many are ashamed. Many have been feeling discouragement and shame because of stepping out of my purpose, walking away from a good thing, a mistake made, a failure. And the Lord would say, I've come to wash you and cleanse you and restore you this day. For the enemy has tried to come to bring mountains of condemnation because he sees the gift that is in your life. The enemy is fighting against the gift. He's fighting against the call and the potential. And he wants to come and bring reproach through failure, discouragement, and shame. And he wants to cap your potential and cap your calling. He wants to resist the high and mighty purpose that God has for you. And many in this room, and many in our campuses, have felt an attack, a severe attack of the enemy. And it's because of the gift. It's because of the high call that God has placed in your life. So I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against shame. I come against that sense that somebody has in this room, I'm not a good father. I'm not a good mother. I'm not a good Christian. I'm not good enough. I break that lie in Jesus' name. Because, Lord Jesus, it's not up to us to be good enough. It's all by your grace, and it's all by your forgiveness, and it's all by your power, Lord, that we could be a father or a mother or a leader or a minister or a parent or whatever it is. Father, I thank you right now for rolling back the reproach of the enemy off of that gift and off of that ministry. And Lord, I just declare that faith is going to arise in our lives again. Faith not just for the next few days, but faith into the new year. Faith for the things, that the seasons and the good things that you have. That God is saying the door is still open to you. You have not ruined it. The door is open for your gift. The door is open. The way has been made through my blood, my son, my daughter. I will wash you. I will dust you off. I will pick you up. I will restore you. Do not agree with the voice that is forming against you in this hour to stop and limit your call, because I am for you. And if I am for you, no one can be against you, says the Lord. My love is available. My grace is available. My cleansing, my healing is available. Receive it now, says the Lord. Well, I think we ought to just lift our hands and just receive God's goodness. Lord, we thank you right now for your grace. Lord, I pray a prayer over all of our people, everyone listening my voice, Lord, even on our campuses. Lord, I break the reproaches of the enemy, Lord. I thank you that today, Lord, you're doing a work to set us free and to restore some. I like those horns. I bought me a Tower of Power record this last week. Oh, baby, I was grooving to Tower of Power this week, let me tell you. And I said to myself, I'm still a young man. Hallelujah. And if you don't know who the Tower of Power is, I pity you. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's going to be a wonderful holiday season. We're having some special services. We'll be telling you about that as the weeks unfold. Some really special things going on. Today, at the end of the service, we're going to have a special meeting for anybody that's interested in creative ministry. I'll talk to you more about that a little bit later. But then as soon as the service is over, the transformation for the holidays is going to begin. And we've got a beautiful Christmas lineup of ministry for people. And for the first time ever, on Christmas Eve, now this year, Christmas Eve falls on Saturday, and Christmas Day falls on Sunday. So you don't want to get the service times wrong. What we're doing is we're having a Christmas Eve service and a Christmas Day service, not our normal regular schedule. So if you want to come Christmas Eve, you come then. You want to come Christmas Day, you come then. But also on Christmas Eve, we're going to have for the first time a Christmas service for the bereaved. Not everyone is singing Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells. If you've lost someone this year, and Christmas is a little bit of a struggle for you, maybe you lost, maybe it wasn't this year, maybe it was a time before or a time before that, and Christmas is just hard for you, we're going to have a very special Christmas Eve, separate Christmas Eve service for the bereaved. So get ready and spread the news about everything that's going on at Gateway. There's going to be a lot of ministry, a lot of good news, a lot of gospel, a lot of new beginnings for people in the month of December. I'm excited to share with you a message that is doomed not to work. Because I wrote too much. I have too much on my notes here. And I'm just going to kind of forget about the other half of it and just kind of have fun with that. Is that okay? I'm going to get about half the message done. And I'm not going to be frustrated with myself, and you're not going to be frustrated, even though you'll have blanks that won't get filled in probably today. And the high C's, the detail people are like, what's number three I need to fill in? But sometimes when I'm trying to make things better, I do too much. And that's what I did with this message. But I do want to talk to you about all the great things that God has in store for us. And I want to start with a very simple and powerful thought to bring this series on better to kind of a conclusion. It might be something you've never thought of, but it's a simple thought, and I believe it will help you. And that is, that's, you know, sometimes if you want life to get better, you have to make it better. If you want life to get better, if you want things to get better, you are an indispensable part of that process. We're going to talk about building things, creating things, and making things happen that are better. I was telling the first service that this was about, I think, a year and a half ago. I said a year ago, but as I thought about it, it was closer to a year and a half ago. And certain aspects of my life were burdensome to me. Some of the responsibilities they had, some of the ways that I was doing things, some at home, some in ministry, and I was feeling kind of overwhelmed with pressure and the schedule and the time and the challenge. And I know you've probably never felt overwhelmed, but I do every once in a while get overwhelmed. I feel the weight of what's going on. I feel the responsibility of what we're trying to do here in the city and with our churches and now three campuses and our team and everything that's going on. It just at one point I just said, God, I need like a restructure. I need something to change. I want you to make this better. And I'll never forget the moment that I had. It was kind of a pity moment, and I was feeling overwhelmed and overtaxed and all that. And the Lord said, then make it better. And it was like, me? But I'm praying to you. I want you to make it better. And God was kind of saying, like, I'm not going to make it better. You make it better. And somehow in that moment, I was freed from a misconception. The misconception can be sometimes, and maybe you've had this, that somebody else needs to make it better for me. God needs to make it better. A new president needs to make it better. A new boss needs to make it better. My spouse needs to make it better. Somebody needs to come along and make this better. And until that happens, it's just not going to be fun. But here's a new line of thinking, and it's what I'm sharing with us today. We all want life to be better, but God has given us an incredible ability within ourselves that we, with God's help, we can make it better. We are builders. We are creators. We are entrepreneurs. We are people that God has given gifts and talents and abilities to. And so what I did, I realized that I just started making decisions. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to let someone else do this. I'm not going to expect this person to do this for me anymore. I'm going to do that myself. I'm going to change this. I'm going to stop doing that. And I started redesigning my life. And you know what? It got better. And now I'm happier and I'm doing more for the Lord and I'm still breaking a sweat, but I'm a lot happier. How many understand sometimes if you want things to get better, you are the one to make it better? You understand that? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about creativity. Let's talk about building. Let's talk about problem solving and making things better. There's a diagram I'm going to put up on the screen this morning, and it's there on your handout. And I want you to think deeply with me about this, because really there are three ways that all of us can live. There are three ways that all of us can live. We've all been in that place where we're falling behind. You know, like we're falling behind financially, we're falling behind with our schedule, we're falling behind with our duties, we're not doing a good job, we're just kind of losing control in life, and life is getting away from us, and it's not very pleasing, and it's not very satisfying, and we just have that overwhelmed feeling of falling behind. There's another way that we can live that's a little bit better than falling behind, which is where a lot of us live all the time, which is just barely kind of keeping up. I mean, it's all we can do to keep up with the bills, keep up with the kids, keep up with the demands of the day, keep up with the expectations of our boss or the things that we put on our list. And we're maybe not falling behind. That's a terrible feeling. So we push and we strive and we shove and we just try to keep up. But there's another level of living, and that's called making it better. And that's what this series has really been about for me, is trying to inspire us with the possibility and the power to engage in life with God and with our faith and with principles in a way where we're not falling behind anymore, and we're not just barely keeping one nostril above the waterline and just barely staying alive, but actually making tremendous progress. That's called making it better. And you know what I realized? That the key person in all three of these scenarios is me. It's you. If you are falling behind in life, God might not be the one to come and restructure your finances. If your health is falling behind, God might not be the person that comes and changes that for you instantly. You might have to make a change in what you're doing financially. You might have to make a change in what you're doing. And if you make the change in what you're doing financially or physically or nutritionally or spiritually, if you make that change with God's help, yes, with His power, with His involvement, of course, but you're like the key. You're like the key to moving from one level to the next level. My question for us today is, what level are you really living on right now, today, and where do you want to be? You say, Pastor, pray for me, because I know if you pray for me, I'll go to the next level. Well, I will pray for you, but truthfully, you have a greater role in shifting the mode that you're living in than I do. I would love it if I could throw pixie dust at you and Holy Ghost thunder at you and lightning bolts and all that. If I could do that and change people's lives that way, just like zap you. I mean, we would have a very big church here. If I had that power and I had the, and a lot of pastors will play into that, and some ministers will even snow you into thinking that it's their faith and their anointing and their power that will do that. What I have come to understand is that you play a bigger role in your life than what you actually realize. And that God will come alongside you, and God will be your helper. He will become your helper, and He will stand with you, but He will not do it for you. Now, God will do the impossible, but He will leave the possible very often up to us. And if you want to switch from falling behind and just barely keeping up, and you actually want to enter into there's a whole way of living that if you and I can just make certain decisions and discover certain truths, some of which I'm going to share with you today, that life can begin to get better and better. Repeat this after me. Say this. Everyone, please say this with me. Life is getting better and better. Say it again. Life is getting better and better. Life is not getting worse and worse. Life is not same old, same old. we're using our faith, our attitude, our knowledge of God, the principles of God's word, and we're practicing those things in such a way that life is getting better and better. This is how we want to live. Can I have an amen? And so part of that is the creative part of life. Now, when I say creative, I don't mean artistic, although that certainly is a part of it. When I say creative, I mean that part of human beings that's like God that builds things. We create things. We have that power. Let's take a look at the area of creativity. Creative people make life better, whether it's through their inventions, whether it's Al Gore inventing the internet, or some guy invented a selfie stick, you know, whatever. He made life better, right? You come up with an idea. You know those plastic things on the end of your shoelaces? Those are good ideas. I don't know what they're called, but somebody invented that, and it made life better. Creation people, building people, engineer. How many engineers do we have here this morning? You work in engineering. All right, you make life better, right? You actually, architects, designers, painters, musicians. My goodness, we have musicians. They make the world better. People that create things, right? And they do amazing jobs. Creativity is what makes life better. Whether it's a wheel or a light bulb or a medicine, it has to be created. It has to be made. What are you working on right now? What solution? What solution to make life better for yourself or better for people around you? What are you working on? Be a maker. Be a creator. Be an engineer. Be a builder of a better life. God works through creative people. He works through people that decide to build things and make things. First, let me say this. As a creator, it is God's nature to make things better. You think about God and all of his roles. We know God is a redeemer. We know he's a savior. We know that God is omniscient and omnipotent. But think about this aspect of who God is. God is a creator. He builds things. He makes things. In Genesis chapter 1, and then in John chapter 1, both of those early chapters, John and Genesis, reveal God at work in creation. The Bible says that Christ existed at the beginning with God, that God created, everyone say created. He created everything through him. God created everything through Jesus, and nothing was created except through him. We see in the Gospels that Jesus did creative miracles. He touched lepers, people that had diseased flesh, and created flesh where there was no flesh. People whose eyes didn't work, their eyeball was messed up, and he touched them and their eye was recreated. He did creative miracles. I've heard testimonies in this church of people that have been healed in marvelous, marvelous ways. God is a creative, and he's a miracle God, and he does wonderful, wonderful things. He's a builder and a creator. He is a God of better. He's a creative God. He does things better. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For I am about to do something, everyone say new. I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make. Now watch this. Here's a creator. What does a creator do? He makes things. He says, I will make a pathway in the wilderness. In other words, the worst possible place where you would never think, this can't work. And God says, I will make it work. You know that God can make your life work when it's not working? He can make a way. Never, ever give up. Never, ever say, I can't do it. It can't work. This can't happen. Never, never allow that negativity to rob you of the joy of living, because you serve a God who says, I will do something new and I will make a way. So it goes on, it says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. And then watch this. He says, I will what? Create. I will create rivers. I can make stuff out of nothing. This is the God we serve. Now, would it surprise you to know that you also have some of these qualities? That God can use you as a builder, as a creator? I mean, not that you could match God's creative ability, but that as a being created in his image, that you also have the ability to make things happen? Because the world may tell you, maybe your parents told you, maybe somebody told you, you can't make it happen. Maybe the enemy told you, there's nothing you can do. This is just the way it is. This is how it's always going to be for people like you. People like you in terms of your gender. People like you in terms of your color. People like you in terms of your age. There's just nothing you can do. But then God comes along and says, I will do something new. I will make a way where there is no way. Now watch this. Let's move to the next slide. I want you to see that it is our makeup. It's in our makeup. It's in our, the way God has created us to create and make things better. That's what God does, and that's what you can do. Not on the same scale, of course. But as a person created in the image of God, you can make things. You are called to be creative. Look at this quotation from Thomas Edison, a man who came up with so many inventions. He said this, if we did all the things we are capable of, we would literally astound ourselves. Look right at me, please. Just look right at me. I just want to, if I could sit down and just put my arm right around you and just tell you this. If you did everything that God has gifted you and empowered you to do, it would blow your mind. I don't mean if God did it. I mean if you did what God created you to do. I want to break some ceilings off of you today because people have planted lies in your life. You've believed things that aren't true. And one of them is you can't do it. You can't change it. You can't make a difference. And what God is saying is, I am a creator, and I created you in my image. Therefore, though you are not divine, you still can create and you can change. So why do you need someone to rescue you? Why do you feel so helpless and alone? I have given you gifts. I have given you the ability. And your life can get better, but you've got to participate in the process. Because if I'm for you, no one can be against you. Did you know that it's actually normal for people to be industrious, to be creative, to be builders? We see children all the time. You know, you give them blocks, you give them Legos, and they just start building. It's in the nature of human beings to create, to come up with ideas, to come up with solutions. And then what happens is, you say, well, what happens? What? Life sort of knocks the cheese out of you sometimes. You go through a failure moment. You go through a disappointment moment. You go through a pain or trauma moment, and you just lose that ability in your own mind to make a difference. But see, God wants to restore that to you today. He wants you to understand that you have a gift, and you have a chance, and you're still breathing, and as long as there is life, there is hope. And between you and God, there's a way that something great can happen. Your life can get better, but you've got to participate in the process. It's normal for us to be creative. It's not weird. What happens is we get damaged. We get disappointed in life and we stop trying. God wants to heal us and bring us back to that great place of creativity. See yourself differently. See yourself as a builder and a creator. Everyone say this, I'm a builder. I build stuff. I'm a creator, say that. Now, I'm not saying that you're like God as a creator, but you are creative. Say, I'm a creator. I create solutions. So with that kind of confidence, it's amazing what can happen. You kind of get the cry out. And look, I'm a person, I like a good cry. That's fine. But at the end of the cry, you got to wipe your tears. You got to stand up and say, all right, let's get cracking. Now I'm going to rebuild. I don't like where I'm at, or I've got a big challenge or whatever. But at the end of the day, God is my helper, and I'm going to get cracking. And I'm going to make things better. I was so proud of our staff. They do such an amazing job. And I was thinking about this topic of creativity and making things better. And for some reason, my mind went back to years ago. It was probably, I think, 2005. And we started thinking here in our church, you know, we had that whole other side of the building was basically just empty. It was a warehouse. At first, we thought maybe we would be renting it out to a company and we would do all of our ministry on this side and we would have rental income from that side because there's two big pieces of this building here. And then we started thinking about children. We started thinking about young people and reaching out. And all we had over there was just this barren warehouse. I mean, the carpet was dirty and wrinkled, and it was all former offices, and it was just really nothing that you would want to invite children or young people into. But and we didn't have a lot of money. Actually, we had zero money, which never really should stop a creative person. In fact, some of the greatest solutions come when you don't have anything. You know, when you don't have any time, you don't have any money, that's where the creativity really kicks off. That's where God the Creator gets involved and he makes something out of nothing. So there we were, and we were thinking about the children's ministry and the youth ministry and all that. We decided, we got some creative people and we started dreaming. Have you been to Kid City? Have you seen our children's facility? It's unbelievable what the creative, yeah, go ahead, give it up for the creative teams. What those guys came up with. And we started raising funds, and we started getting people involved, and then the youth, you know, they were literally meeting. Well, at first they were meeting the NPR, and it was too small for them. So then they set up, I don't know what it was, Chip, awnings or something, like you would park your boat under or something in bad weather, the stuff you get from Costco. And they were in that warehouse, and they set up a couple of those awnings, and that was like just like a little place to have a youth meeting. And we had a special night of prayer. And we just prophesied, Lord, a wall is going to go here, and something's going to happen here, and we're going to have a stage here, and we're going to have drums. We're going to have our own youth team that leads worship, and we're going to have microphones and funky lights, and we're going to have a whole other youth environment there. And you know, within a few years, they had that. You go over there, and you see the youth center now. Nothing was there, but then something was there. Because people started to work together, and they said, you know, we can make this better. Every artist, every architect, Leonardo da Vinci, every sculptor for the last 2,000 years of church history, every person that painted a ceiling or a fresco, the greatest artwork, the greatest cathedrals, the greatest buildings, they all understood what I'm saying to us. That is that sometimes if you want things to get better, you have to make it better. And I want you to think about the empty warehouse of your life. I want you to think about 2017. It's coming, you know. Can you believe it? What are you going to do? Are you going to fall behind? Are you going to keep up, hopefully? Some of you are just saying, I just pray I could keep up. Or can you partner with God Almighty who says, I can do a new thing. I can cut a river right through the middle of the wilderness. Don't worry about this girl. I got it. Don't worry about this baby. And so we step up and we partner with God and we say, God, I think with you and me together, we could make it better. And I'm throwing a challenge out at every single one of you, especially if you're falling behind or you're just you just feel like you're keeping up, the word of the Lord to you is, that's enough. Now, partner with God and allow His majesty and His power. I know you feel overwhelmed. I know you don't have money. I know. But learn what every great person who's ever changed the world and made it better, learn what they know. Sometimes if you want it to get better, you have to make it better. And that's what a church is all about. I can tell you that probably about 90% of churches in America, and I'm not saying this in a critical way. I'm not saying we're doing something great. I'm gonna make a very neutral, but I think very true statement. About 90% of churches, maybe 90% of people, are either falling behind or just barely keeping up. And you look at that and you go, now why is that? And I know, look, of all people, I know the pressure, I know the responsibility, I know the challenges, I know how tough the culture is, and what we're up against here in the Bay Area and everything else. I get it. I understand that. But does it have to be that way that it just never works? Or can we get our faith up and say, you know what, we're going to make this better. We can build a church that people actually enjoy, that actually honors Jesus, that actually takes cities that where people are actually healed. Come on, somebody. We could build a church where people worship and people pray and people get saved and people get it. That can be done. And you know what? We're doing it. And it can be done. But we gotta change our mind. What about you? What about your life? Does it have to be same old, same old? Or would you allow God to give you a gift today of a creative ability, of a creative building, let's do something kind of anointing that God would release on you for actually to make your life better? I want to close today. We're going to be praying together in a few minutes, and about 5 minutes the worship team is going to come. I want to share with you some thoughts that I have about ministry and how some things that we can do to make the world better. I received an email. Actually, it wasn't just to me. It was a beautiful writing that Catherine Kong did. Catherine's a part of our staff. She's on the staff of Gateway Community Outreach, and she works with us here, and she's a lovely young woman. I'm so proud of her, and I want to share some words that she wrote about this idea of creativity, and she links it in with worship in a way that I think is like amazing. Here's what she said. God wants His people to reclaim the area of creativity. I believe there's a strong link between creativity and worship. We are creative beings because we're made in the image of a creative God. God placed creative capacity within us, and He receives glory, watch this, as we use our creative gifts as He intended. Because the culture of Silicon, she was actually writing about our city and reaching our city. And she said, because the culture of the Silicon Valley is focused on wealth and self-advancement, following a creative dream often feels risky and foolish. Like worship, creativity is seen as useless and a waste of time. Many of the creative people I know in this city have given up on the creative dreams God placed within them to pursue safe and lucrative careers. I believe that God longs to raise up a generation of creative worshipers. Wow. People who are willing to sacrifice time, energy, and resources to gaze upon His faith and to meditate on His beauty. And she finishes this way. From that place of soaking in God's beauty, these creative worshipers will overflow with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to create extravagant displays of beauty in many forms, music, art, writing, etc., that reveal God's love for His people and for His city. What is she saying? That when human beings discover their creative ability and they begin to function in their creative ability, it actually reaches people. The other thing that I that I thought was so profound in what she was writing was that worship is like the fire where everything else begins. That what she was saying was when we worship God, when we encounter God, which only makes sense because we were created to worship. I mean, we're called as worshipers. That when we worship God, something starts flowing and moving on the inside of our lives that wasn't there before. Worship is a creative act. You say, well, what does this have to do with me? Pastor David, my business is struggling. My marriage is, I'm not keeping up. My marriage is heading the wrong direction. What does worship have to do with me? But I would say to you, in the midst of your pain and whatever else is going on, if you can let go of your problem for just a minute and begin to do what you were born to do, which is to worship the Lord, that you will remember in that moment how great and how awesome God is. And you will create prophetic atmosphere around your life, and you'll start hearing solution, and you'll start hearing direction, and you'll get a plan, and God will start speaking to you because you're drawing near to Him and you're doing what you were created to do. So really, worship, which is something that we're going to talk about all through December. I'm going to share a series of messages with you on worship called Come and Worship. We're going to do what the wise men did, just simply show up at the feet of Jesus and just worship and believe God to do creative, amazing, new things in our world. That if you will grab hold of this concept, that sometimes if you want life to get better, you have to make it better. You have to bring your spirit, bring your heart into the presence of God, worship Him, and receive the information that you need to make things better, and then roll up your sleeves and start doing it. That's the message for us today. How many of you will receive this? You say, I want it to get better. And God says, go for it. You're a builder. You're a creator. You have gifts. You have abilities. I know you got kicked hard in life, but don't let it knock that creativity out of you. Hit reset. Come back to that place of worship and believe that God can do amazing things through you. This is going to happen in your life. You're not going down. You're not going to be destroyed. You're going to stand up and you're going to say, with God's help, I can make it better. Amen. Now, I want to share some really cool news with you. We're going to pray, and worship team, you can just come whenever you're ready. I'm thinking a lot about creativity in our church, and we talked about Kids City and so many amazing things that are going on here in this church. And actually today, I mentioned at the end of the service, they're going to start transforming all the Christmas people. They're amazing. When you see what's going to be laid out here, it's pretty cool. So we have a lot of creative things going on. But what the Holy Spirit is telling me is that we're going to double down on creative ministry in the future of our church. That through all kinds of things, through music, through art, through writing, through worship, certainly, through every kind of interior design, lights, media, sound, video. I mean, the tools that God has given and made available to us to shape and to preach and to share truth with people, it's amazing all the things that can be done. And not everybody here is called to be a preacher, at least in the way that I'm preaching, maybe perhaps. Not everybody here is called to be in the full-time ministry, although you're full-time serving the Lord right where you are, wherever you get your paycheck. But every person here has a gift and has something to contribute. And I want to get better at harnessing the amazing gifts, the video gifts, the media gifts, the music gifts, the poetry gifts, the writing gifts, the creative gifts of people, because creative people make the world better. Art and music and all that makes the world better. And that's what we're talking about. And so, in fact, today, when this message is over and we all say goodbye, if you're interested in maybe learning a little bit more about what I have in mind for creative ministry, stick around for 5 minutes after the service. We'll turn the lights down for 2 minutes, then turn them back on, and then I want to introduce some people. Here's a couple that I want you to get to know. Pastor Brian and Laura Sutherland, I've just asked them, and they've agreed. We've been in a talk for about 6 months now about them stepping into a new role. Brian's been on staff since the 90s. A lot of our team has been here a long time. Brian's one of my best guys. Laura, she's amazing. Brian is he's an excellent guitarist. He knows music. He's an entrepreneur. He owns a business. He also, most of his life is here, but he owns a business. And he's very creative. Laura is a fantastic decorator. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me earlier this summer. Ask them to take creative ministry to the next level at Gateway. And I thought, well, I don't have that job. And God said, create it. So nobody lost their job. Everybody's going to continue doing what they're doing on our team. But Brian and Laura are just going to kind of lead the charge in all the areas that relate, especially to worship, music, video stuff. I think in the years to come, we're going to create amazing video projects out of this house, and we're going to have assemble storytellers and people that are going to do a much better job than I do communicating the gospel through media and through music and all kinds of creativity. And I see a whole generation of young people, these 12-year-olds, these 16-year-olds that we have running up and down these halls. I tell you, God wants to get a hold of them and use them in an amazing way. And they might not stand, many of them will stand and preach like a, but some of them will make movies and tell stories and do set design and create software and do all of this for the kingdom. This is all about, what do we want for our future? Do we want to release the creatives, the makers, and encourage them? And I say as a church, that's what we want to do. We want to see everybody come to their fullness. And if you're a musician, if you're a singer, if you think, well, you know, I don't really have much to contribute, I want to challenge you, because if God gave you that gift, and if you don't use that gift, if you don't use the gift that God gave you, if you don't use that gift to make the world better through the church, through the gospel, by reaching people, I think you're missing a huge part of your calling. So I want to encourage you, if you're a musician, if you're an artist, stick around for a 5-minute meeting at the end of the service. And would you help me congratulate Pastor Brian and Laura as our new creative pastors at Gateway? Some cool stuff is coming. Now I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for people right here in the auditorium, in the cafe, people listening online, people that are sort of in a wilderness place, and there just needs to be a river. And Lord, I'm asking that you would create rivers in the desert. I'm asking you to do new things. Lord, I'm asking you to hover over every one of our lives, over the Genesis 1 chaos and darkness of our world, and that you would birth and release something brand new in us. Lord, not just something for today or this next few weeks, but all the way in through the new year and all the way into a powerful future of making things better. That you would activate the gifts and callings of every single man, woman, and child. Whatever if they're an engineer, if they play the saxophone, if they sew, if they preach, if they intercede, Lord, use every one of us to make life better, to make the world better for people, and to bring you glory. And I pray that you will do this, Lord, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to talk to anyone here listening to my voice. You don't know for sure that God is for you. You've never given your heart to the Lord. You have no reason to expect that God would use you or bless you or help you, because you don't even know God. You can know God through Christ. And that same God who created you and formed you, he has an amazing plan for your life. He's the author and builder of your faith. And all you need to do is reach out to him and say, Lord, I receive you as my creator, as my savior. I receive Jesus, the Son of God, as my personal Lord and Savior. If you will do that, you will not only stop falling behind, but God will use you in a marvelous way. Things will get better. The Bible says this, anyone who is in Christ becomes a new creation. Old things pass away, and all things become new. That's the promise of Scripture. So if you're here and you don't know God, but you want to, I want to pray for you. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you just lift a hand and say, Pastor David, pray for me? If you're in the cafe or you're here in the main auditorium, just lift a hand and say, that's me. I need prayer. I want to know God. Just wherever you are, just lift your hand up right now. God bless you. I see you. God bless you in the back. I see you. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Wherever you are, don't even be ashamed. If you're in the cafe, just lift it up. Hold it up for 10 seconds and then set it down. I'm going to pray for everyone who's lifting their hands. Now, Father, I praise you, probably a half a dozen people, just acknowledging their need of you. And Lord, I pray for them. I ask you to help them and create in them, Lord, something brand new. Give them new life in Christ. Do this, Lord, through the miracle power, and let it happen now, Lord, as they open their hearts to you, in Jesus' name. Would you just look up at me, every one of you? It's about six people that raised their hands. I think that's pretty awesome to say, Lord. But you know, it's not just six people that need the Lord. We all need the Lord. And where our lives really start to change is when we pray. So for those that raised their hands, and for all of us here, everybody listening to my voice, we're going to put a prayer up on the screen. I want to just challenge you to say this prayer and mean it with all your heart. We're all going to say it together. And it's a prayer just to say, Lord, begin to do that new thing in my life. I surrender my life to you. I'm not making it on my own. It's only with your power. So would you join me and let's say this prayer out loud together. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to make life better. I've been so blocked by my past pain and sins, but I'm ready for life to get better. Lord Jesus, I accept your love and grace. Come on, everyone. I want everything you have for me, and I want you to use me to make things better. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving this morning, and please don't go anywhere. I'm going to come back and say a prayer and a blessing over you. Thank you for your generosity and your giving. It makes a big difference. Now our worship team is going to lead us as we worship the Lord together.
Of your great name. Jesus. Sing it, church.
The Lamb that was slain, we worship you, Lord. Son of God, man, you are high and lifted up. All the world will praise your great name. I want to invite my friends on the prayer team just to come at this time. We're going to have Holy Spirit prayer available for you if you need healing prayer, if you need a touch from heaven, if you just want to talk to somebody about this decision that you've made today to surrender your life to the Lord. Love to hear from you, by the way. Tell us your story. Let us know what your testimony is, what God did for you. Come and join us here at the front. Also, as I mentioned, if you're interested in creative ministry, you'd like to find more about that, there's going to be a 5-minute gathering. I have an announcement about a future meeting, and I'll share that with those. If you'll come as soon as the service is over, we'll just have a 2-3 minute huddle right here at the front, and I'll share some information. I want to introduce Pastor Brian, Pastor Nicole, and make sure everybody gets connected, okay? Now, here's the deal, guys. We're walking out those doors, and it's not going to be handed to us, is it? The devil's going to fight us. The world's going to resist us. I mean, not everybody wants us to win, to succeed. There's one who's for you. And if he's for you, yes, nobody can be, yes, against you. And that's God. And through him, all things are possible. So I want you to lift your hands, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you, because I prophesy that great things are going to happen to your in your life and for you starting right now. Father, this is like a new thing that you're teaching us, and we're excited to make things better, to step into that place of partnership with you, to see families and cities and churches and communities touched by the power of our yes. And we say yes to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit anointing would come upon every gift, every musical gift, every creative gift, every entrepreneurial gift, every mother, every father, every student. Lord, you've given amazing gifts to us. Now anoint us to use those things for your glory. Help us to be the makers, the creators, and the builders that you have called us to be through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for coming to Gateway. Glad we could be together. If you need prayer, join our folks up here. And if you're interested in creative ministry, art, music, all that stuff, meet us here, right here at the front. We'll have a quick huddle, okay? God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our